30 دقيقة مع لاجئ. تعرفوا على حياة اللاجئين كل ثالث اثنين من الشهر الساعة 8 مساء.
Welcome on board. You are listening to 30 minutes with a refugee. Each third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. 30 Minutes with a Refugee is a show that will speak about the different aspects of refugees' life. With me, Samer. I'm from Syria and I live in Slovenia as a refugee and studying economics, but through this show, I'll try to get you closer to the refugees' life and show you how ugly and nice are we. In our first episode, we will speak about many topics and we'll focus today on the media perspective of the refugees topic. Refugees news. The asylum statistics in Slovenia and pushbacks on the Slovenian-Croatian borders. Today, the number of asylum applications during 2018 is 2,098 until August, and the number of accepted applications is 80, and the number of stopped applications is 1,552. So the majority of applications are stopped in the process. And for asylum seekers, they usually leave Slovenia because they find out about the amazing situation of living in a 5-star asylum center, which is very high quality. And you usually get a medical care 24/7 with a hotline connection with your own doctor. And even you get a painkiller when you have an infection or a heart attack or whatever. Plus the air-conditioned rooms, by your own, of course, not with the other 4, 5, 6, 7 people. And now we'll speak about the amazing food service. You get Italian, Slovenian, Arabic, alien cuisine, free delivery, unlimited phone calls, SMS, free Wi-Fi. You don't stand with all the asylum seekers on the same corner next to the stairs to get a good connection. Plus, you get a very special psychological assistance and unlimited visits for your guests, especially your girlfriend. And the biggest benefit is the 18 euros you get each month. So, as we said, there are 80 accepted applications and 105 rejected applications during 2018. So the government is officially saying that they accepted only 80 refugees, which means around 3.8% of acceptance of asylum applications, not 50,000 as SDS is claiming. The ex-Ministry of Interior Affairs is also claiming that refugees are abusing the asylum procedure as an excuse for the very low percentage of acceptance. But the reality is that few people only get the refugee status or an international protection after going through very long bureaucratic procedure. Some of the refugees do not even make it to apply for asylum because of the systematic pushbacks by the Slovenian and Croatian police. First, let me explain what does a pushback mean. When someone tries to cross the border and enter the country to ask for an asylum, then gets rejected, beaten up, and loses his or her money, phone, and get pushed back by the police, and gets kicked back to where she or he came from. And usually the pushback happens from Slovenia to Croatia, and then the same treatment by the Croatian police and back to Bosnia. On May 25th, the Slovenian police generals gave an order to the police officers on the border to enable them returning refugees who expressed intention to seek an asylum in Slovenia back to Croatia due to the bilateral agreement between Slovenia and Croatia. 1,766 refugees were pushed back by the Slovenian police during 2018 and 503 during 2017. And the majority of pushbacks, which is around 1,300, were happening during June and July of this year. NGOs like the Peace Institute, Amnesty International, organizations like Second Home, journalists from the National Television, Neunik, Delo and Radio Student have been reporting about illegal acts of the Slovenian and Croatian police. And finally, I'm really happy and excited to share an important last news for today, which could be really sad for some people, but we found out that refugees, unfortunately, do not write comments. And let's now look at some illustrative numbers, counted at the end of 2017. On the basis of Statista, in Slovenia, there are 892 refugees or asylum seekers, which is the lowest number in the European Union. The best way to illustrate the situation is to check how it is in a region, or better to say, in the neighboring countries. Italy, for example, welcomed more than 354,000 refugees and asylum seekers. Austria has around 172,000. Croatia has more than 11,000. And Hungary, with the Premier Viktor Orban, a bit more than 6,000 asylum seekers and refugees. Okay, not so representative, but we would say, or let's do it in terms of per capita. Now we're gonna start with Viktor's Hungary. There live approximately around 10 million Hungarians. So one refugee per 1,633 Hungarian. In Croatia, there are around 4 million people. This is like one asylum seeker per 377 Croatian. Then we go north to Sebastian's Austria. Approximately 9 million inhabitants and 172,000 refugees. Easily calculated, that comes out like one refugee per 512 Austrian residents. At the end, we introduce you to statistics in Italy. Approximately 61 million Italians living together with more than 354,000 refugees. That comes out, how much is like around one asylum seeker per 171 spaghetti lovers. Then we return to Marjan Šarec. In Slovenia, here we live. And we have 2,067,284 loving Slovenians, and statistics for this country under the Alps show that 892 refugees live in Slovenia, which means one refugee per 2,318 inhabitants. So speaking about humanity, Slovenia got the last on the list of being a humanitarian country in the region, and let's stop here before we get worse facts comparing Slovenia with the German or the French train, as our dear president say usually. هلا رح نحكي عن الأخبار. الإحصائيات تبع اللاجئين وطالبي اللجوء خلال 2018. في عنا 2098 طلب حتى أغسطس من هاي السنة. عدد الطلبات المقبولة هو بس 80. والتطبيقات التي تم إيقافها هي 1552. بالتالي تم إيقاف غالبية الطلبات بهي العملية. غالباً بيطلعوا طالبين اللجوء وبيهربوا برات سلوفينيا لأنهم بيعرفوا أنه الوضع مذهل والعيش بمركز اللجوء واللي يعتبر 5 نجوم بجودة عالية من الرعاية الطبية وبتحصل على طبيبك الشخصي على مدار الساعة والأسبوع مع خط هاتف ساخن واللي بيكون مجانا وبتاخد أنت غرفة وبيعطوك حتى مسكن ألم بشو أي مرض كان عندك، في عندك عدوى ولا التهاب ولا اللي هو. الغرف هنيك مكيفة، بتعيش لحالك مو مع 50,000 شخص بنفس الغرفة، وعندهم خدمة طعام بتجنن، بيعطوك أطباق عربية، إيطالية، سلوفينية، فضائية، وحتى التوصيل مجاني. بيعطوك مكالمات غير محدودة، رسائل قصيرة، واي فاي مجاني، حتى ما بتحتاج أنك توقف على الدرج أو على الزاوية لتاخد اتصال جيد. وخاصة هنيك المساعدة النفسية متوفرة طول الوقت، بالإضافة للزيارات الغير محدودة منين ما أجاك ضيوف وحتى صاحبتك ورفقاتك. وأكتر شي بيفيدك في المركز هو 18 يورو بالشهر. هلا مثل ما حكينا في عنا 80 طلب مقبول و105 مرفوضين خلال 2018. عم تقول الحكومة انه هنن رسميا قبلوا بس 80 لاجئ، يعني حوالي 3.8% من طلبات اللجوء، مو 50,000 مثل SDS عم تحكي. هلا في عنا كمان وزارة الشؤون الداخلية السابقة اللي عم تقول انه اللاجئين عم يسيئوا استخدام اجراءات اللجوء، واللي هي طبعا ذريعة لنسبة القبول المنخفضة جدا لطلبات اللجوء. بس الحقيقة هي انه الا من الناس اللي بيحصلوا حق اللجوء او الحماية الدولية طبعا بعد ما يمروا باجراءات وتجربة صعبة وعلاك مصدي. بعض اللاجئين حتى ما بيحسنوا انه يقدموا طلب لجوء لانه في دفعات منتظمة من قبل الشرطة السلوفينية والكرواتية. خلوني اول احكي لكم شو معنات هاي الدفعات المنتظمة. هلا لما شخص يحاول يعبر الحدود ويدخل على البلاد اللي بده يطلب فيها لجوء بيتم رفض الطلب تبعه طبعا على حدود من قبل الشرطة، بيضربوه وبيشلحوا تليفونه وبيرجعوا للمكان اللي اجى منه. وبالعادة بيصير هذا الدفع او التقليع من سلوفينيا لكرواتيا، وطبعا المعاملة نفسها من قبل الشرطة الكرواتية وبيرجعوا الناس للبوسنة. هلا ب 25 ايار من هاي السنة طالعوا ضباط الشرطة السلوفينية بلوبيانا أمر أنه ضباط شرطة الحدود لازم يراجعوا اللاجئين اللي بيعبروا عن نيتهم لطلب اللجوء بسلوفينيا لكرواتيا بسبب الاتفاق الثنائي بين سلوفينيا وكرواتيا. ب 2018 تم ترحيل 1766 من طالبي اللجوء من قبل الشرطة السلوفينية خلال 2018، 503 خلال عام 2017، وكانت غالبية هدول الدفعات اللي صارت حوالي 2300 خلال شهري يونيو ويوليو من هاي السنة. هلا في عنا منظمات غير حكومية مثل معهد السلام بيتس ومنظمات مثل السيكند هوم وصحفيين من التلفزيون الوطني الدنيونيك الديلو وراديو شتودنت خبروا كتير عن أعمال غير قانونية وبلغوا عن الشرطة السلوفينية والكرواتية. You are listening to 30 Minutes with a Refugee on Radio Student. And now in our second part, we will listen to Aboud, who is a refugee from Damascus, Syria, and living in Slovenia for 2 years. And he will tell us about his daily struggle.
My name is Aboud Orfali. I'm a war refugee from Syria. I'm living currently in Ljubljana, Slovenia. I'm 21 years old and I study in Faculty of Economics and doing my international business here. There is a few obstacles are in front of every migrant lives in the Republic of Slovenia. Among them, finding an apartment, try to look for a job. I think the language obstacle is one of the toughest because there's no like a proper or let's say a big amount of hours and it's a completely different language, and of course there's not so much integration programs in this society. But yeah, I think that's the main issues that we're facing.
Was it easy to find a flat for you?
No, it wasn't. Actually, when I took my status like more than 2 years ago, actually I searched like more than 15 flat and eventually I found a flat through an organization was helping refugees, and we found a flat and we signed the agreement and like okay. And after 1 year I moved into another flat. Also I was lucky because my friends got out of their flat when they moved out and they called me and we all lived instead of them.
What was the hardest part when you were looking for a flat? Which one was like the really hard tough part?
The main issue that there is not so much apartments are offering for renting in the capital in Slovenia, in Ljubljana. So and also beside that, like there's not so much people are trusting foreigners to rent them in apartments. And of course when you are mentioning that you are migrant Syria and things like this, things are got in a bit complex, where they say, okay, we will take the opinion of an owner, then we will talk, and some of them, they don't reply or so on.
For whom did you vote in the last election?
I didn't vote. In all my entire life, I don't like politics.
If you remember the campaign of SDS, they were saying that mm-hmm. we give refugees, each of them, 2,000 euros. What do you do usually with the 2,000 you get?
If I was get 2,000 euros per month, I wouldn't go to college. No, I'm just kidding. I think this like, that's a really bad propaganda they are doing. It's not reasonable.
But tell us, what do you do with the money?
I mean, that's... maybe I would go to Rio de Janeiro for a vacation.
Well, that means you don't get the money.
But I don't get the money. That the problem is, it's just propaganda.
Okay. Thank you, Obi.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We continue with our interview with a Slovenian director called Dejan Babusik, who made a movie called Strah, which means fear, that speaks about racism. And through this movie, Dejan tries to raise awareness and will speak about refugees from a media perspective. Let's hear together the interview with Dejan.
How did it start with the fear? How did the idea come to your mind, and what kind of motives did you have at that time to work on fear?
When this path through Balkans to Slovenia, to Austria, Germany, and Scandinavia was opened, then I read a lot of hate speeches, hate talks in politics, on social media, and I started getting the idea that I should do a project that could mirror this new reality, and then the idea for film Fear happened.
I mean, was it, did you feel any kind of, for me, usually when I get this kind of like racist treatment, or when I hear this kind of hate speech, I mean, it touches me personally, and I always think in a way, how can I do something to not face this situation again? I mean, did you somehow feel the pain of other people who are getting in that situation? Did you get that feeling? Was that as like a motive for you that, okay, I don't accept that others are being treated in a really racist way? I mean, even though they are refugees and camel riders and so on.
Yes, it was, as you said, I always had this feeling of connection with people, regardless of their nationality, race, religion, or anything, you know. And in human level, we are all human beings that are just being born, raised, or programmed on some area in the world, you know. And the world changes very quickly. The things are happening. The global warming is happening. That makes a lot of crisis, refugees, lack of food and water in many areas, that people are looking for life somewhere else, and the wars. And everything is so connected. And people sometimes don't understand this, and connecting with the politicians who are making fear through them, making hate through them, so they can evolve their ideas. And that really touched me on a human level.
Dejan, how do you think the media changes the mindset of people? How does that influence people? What role do you think that the media plays when we speak about refugees and rapists?
Okay, thank you. Usually only my mama calls me Dejan, so thank you for this respect in communication. The media. I like the media. I live in media, I work in media. Media is my life. It can be true, it can be fake, it can be everything in one. That thin line is very thin, and you can jump all over it every time you need the need to do it.
How do you think that the media influences the mindset of people? I mean, when we speak about refugees. I mean, do you watch this Styri & Weisset, Nova, Styri & Weisset? Do you see the difference? How do they present refugees and, I don't know, the RTV?
Yeah, there is a huge difference sometimes between presenting. It's with media, it's all about the programming, the mindset of the people. And that is a huge
problem since the media exists, you know. And if we go back for 70, 80 years in the Nazi Germany, we've seen what media did under the Minister of Information, Goebbels, what he did with the media. He influenced, programmed and brainwashed the whole German nation with this Nazi ideology. And in this same approach, it is used in the media as the marketing tools from the marketing agencies, and the same thing with the politics and with the problem of refugees. It is all covered in these different areas of the truth they are presenting to people.
So, Dejan, please tell us, how does it look like when you go and show your movie Strach around school, around the schools, and speak with young students, and two camel riders are presented with you, I mean, usually?
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity. I started this awareness campaign against racism, fascism and xenophobia, and when I have the opportunity that I get guests, the camel riders with me, it's especially great because the youngsters has the immediate connection with someone from somewhere else, and they get the truth in the different aspect that the media is showing them. And I think that is really great, and they do connect in conversation, and I think that is real success of the campaign, that they get in touch, talk to the people, and they see the truth about people in some different light that they see it usually in the media or social networks.
I mean, do you usually get some tangible resource out of that? Like, do you feel that when students and those young people, when they speak with me or with Ali, do you feel that that changes something in their mindset? Do you feel that, do you see any results, I mean, while you are there, or if you speak with the kids after the discussion and so on?
Yes, usually we have always questions and answers after the screening and the debate. And we get sometimes direct questions or statements from them, or sometimes they write it on a piece of paper. And a few times I got the answers about how the movie and this debate changed their way of thinking. And I think that really shows the success.
That's really great. Do you think that this kind of activities are efficient enough? I mean, from observing what is happening, I mean, you see always that these people get like a kind of momentary effect and they feel sad and bad about it, but then they go and vote for SDS. I mean, do you think this kind of things that we are always trying to do are efficient or not?
Yeah, this kind of work has to be done all the time. People have sometimes very, as you said, they get emotionally attached in the moment, it lasts few moments, and then we are already covered with all other information sometimes. So the projects like this, the spreading awareness about the not only the refugee crisis and what's happening in the world and all the hate and all the fear that's putting outside about all these topics that are evolving in the negative way in the human society, in the world today, people should spread this awareness all the time. It's like a responsibility of the people that work in politics, in media, in art, and so on.
I mean, now if we go towards the end, I would like to ask you that, I mean, or about how it was and is your experience with refugees. How is it when you interact with them? I mean, how is it to sit with them or speak or have friends or hang around or work with them? I mean, how is your experience with refugees? Did they try to steal you or rape you or steal your money or your job or destroyed your house or... Yeah, did they do anything bad to you? Mm. I mean, tell, it's fine. This is a free media. You could say whatever you want. Don't feel pressured. We don't have anybody around.
Yeah, lately I had a lot of fear from this guy called Samir Arkavi from Syria. He made one film and now he's planning to do another film. And I'm already scared that he wants
to take
a job from us, the Slovenian filmmakers. He wants to get a piece of a pie here.
Dejan, as a final word, as a final statement, what would you tell? Are you for avoiding refugees or for another solution?
Yeah, the problematic is that a lot of times in the media and politics, they are talking about the refugees as a groups, as a numbers, you know, but we have here a lot of individual souls, a lot of different human lives, and they are just putting in one equation and showing like through to the people, they are just like that. But there is a lot of variety in all of these people. You have great people, you have good people, and you have bad people besides them, you know, and you can never judge by just this. In every nation, in every race, you have the people, some part of people that are causing problems. And this is the thing that the media and politics a lot of times are leaning towards, and just showing this perspective to the people, just scaring them with that part, not evolving the stories that are about the humanity and the good stuff in the people.
Cool.
And I think we have to learn about the world, about the people, travel to different parts of the world, learn different cultures, meet people from different national, religious, racial backgrounds, and see that humanity are connected in all different levels.
Exactly, that that's the way how you enrich your knowledge, yeah, your
and
experience.
Enrich your spirit and your personality in that matter.
Cool. Thank you a lot, Dayan.
You are still listening to 30 Minutes with a Refugee. And to conclude our show today, we will listen to Mohammed from Syria, who's living in Slovenia for 2 years. And he will tell us about his daily struggle.
I'm Mohammed Orfahli, I'm from Syria. I start a bit in Dvajset. I'm studying at the Faculty of Economics, Economic Faculty. Ja zdelam moj magister bančni in finančni management. Like a refugee here living in Slovenia or in general in Europe, every day is a challenge.
What kind of challenges?
What kind of challenges? Maybe most hardest thing to find an apartment in Ljubljana or in Slovenia, because nobody wants to rent for you. Beside some social, financial issues.
How is your life as a student? Are you able to be financially comfortable or live normally without difficulties and struggle?
Man, every month we are struggling, because beside your life, there is some expense that you have to pay it for the university, and you have needs, you have to take care about it. Like last year, I remember I had a book, it cost me 80 euros, and I am receiving only 300 euros per month.
But for how long you were broken after you paid this 80 euros?
Maybe for 10 days.
For whom did you vote in the last election?
I didn't join the election.
Are you even able to vote?
No, I don't think so. I think I don't have a right to vote yet, because like I have a status of refugee. Okay, it's permanent status, but it doesn't give me a right to vote.
I'd like to ask you, what do you do usually with the 2,000 euros which you get from Janša?
Nothing. Every month I try to like...
Do you get your own private jet, your private yacht?
Not yet, but I'm still collecting this money, you know. Like last year, I collect money to buy Q7, Audi Q7. This year, I am planning to buy my jet, maybe in Croatia.
Will you take us for a trip when you get it?
No, sorry, I don't accept refugees on my boat.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this is the end of today's episode. You have been listening to 30 Minutes with a Refugee. Today we spoke about the refugees topic from a media perspective with the Slovenian director Dejan Babusik. And we heard from Mohammed and Abud from Syria about their daily struggle as refugees and students in Slovenia. Thanks for listening. Our next show is going to be on the third Monday of next month. And we are going to have an interview with Professor Aleksandar Keshelevich from SMC. Greetings and thanks from the work team, Žiga, Jošt and Rok, and special thanks for Polona for her mentoring and instructing us, and for watching the whole show online, go to Smile and Radio Student. And we are going to discuss about Smile, which is our refugees media platform, in our next show.
30 دقيقة مع لاجئ. تعرفوا على حياة اللاجئين كل ثالث اثنين من الشهر الساعة 8 مساءً.